You've tuned in to 96.7 on your FM dial. This is Hugh Cruzell, and the program is QOL, Quality of Life. Ooh, today's topic, you know, quality of life, your quality of life changes radically with the arrival, onset of some kinds of conditions, diseases, falls. We touch on so many things that happen and can happen. Of course, we don't want to live in fear. We can't put cotton balls all around ourselves or just, you know, styrofoam to make sure we don't fall down. But I'm here with Shannon Ketchaba, and we are going to talk about Alzheimer's, dementia, specifically Alzheimer's, because that's where... Shannon, what's your official title?
So I'm the executive director of the Society, Alzheimer's Society, Sudbury, Manitoulin, North Bay, and Districts.
That's a mouthful. Does it have like an acronym?
I can't even give you the acronym.
No, I've known Shannon for some time. I think before she joined Meals on Wheels, I was aware of her abilities to take an organization and, maybe not morph it, but improve it, new and improved, right? Shannon, there's been a lot of news about Alzheimer's and dementia. Today's Globe and Mail, you knew about it. I've read about it. It's astounding.
It is, for sure. It's the Many Faces of Dementia in Canada. It's their landmark study. It's their second volume that it's just released from today, actually. And it is astounding. The numbers are astounding. 650,000 people are living in Canada with dementia.
Today. But even more shocking is what's coming next. Like by 2050, I've read that there'll be 1.7 million Canadians.
Exactly.
That's...
It's increasing by 187%.
Is it increasing, or is our investigation into it, our definition of it, I'm looking for the right word here, our clinical understanding of what dementia and Alzheimer's is, and also our identification? Are we going like,
you or me? I do think it's increasing. I think that's the right word. Like, there is...
It's a tough topic, isn't it?
It is a tough topic. It's not easy to... There's the stats are just, they're astounding.
So we were talking about stats here, so we should identify that most of this is coming out of a release today of the second of a three-volume landmark study.
That's right.
Done by, they're called CANSEA, the Canadian Centre for Economic Analysis. And it's surprising that they would tackle Alzheimer's, but I guess it has a financial imprint on Canadian society, families, individuals, and also the facility. Yes, healthcare.
It completely has that impact, right? You have your care partners,
right,
that are at home taking care of the individual. You have your individuals that have dementia, and you have the healthcare system that if your care partners are becoming burnt out,
yes,
and there isn't respite services in place, or they're not educated, all of those things.
We're talking about concentric circles, which include sort of the individual, then the family, then the extended family, then the...
Exactly. So
like when a stone's thrown into a puddle or a piece of water, you get those rings that come... Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So with all of that, you have... Your healthcare system is definitely impacted, right? Because people are presenting at the emergency departments because they can no longer take care of somebody, or if a care partner becomes burnt out
or falls
requires
themselves
anything, yes, then it's going to impact their ability to care for that person, right?
Okay, now you and I prior to the show were talking about COVID. Mm-hmm. We recognize that a lot of people have been living in their homes, socially isolated.
That's right.
Are we seeing Alzheimer's dementia suddenly pop up because people are becoming more, the doors are open once again?
No, I don't think that actually, I mean, I could be wrong.
I'm just thinking people hid behind their, don't come and see me.
I'm sure we could say that for many things right now, right? For a lot of that social isolation where you're seeing all of those, mental health is a, yes, a bigger factor right now where you're really seeing it. any kind of healthcare. People weren't necessarily getting to a doctor, getting to the hospital, doing the things that they needed to do. So I don't think it's specific, would be specific to dementia.
Yeah, I just think you're right. But, you know, if you haven't seen a doctor in 3 years.
Exactly.
And they go like,
Yeah, there's progression, right? But
seems like it was yesterday, right?
But at the same time, there was a lot of programming that would occur.
Right.
So whether that be virtually, which may not always be your best options,
yes.
You know, a lot of once some things started to lift, you had the recreation
programs
where they would go into the homes.
Yes.
Those kind of things were happening, where at least there was eyes on somebody,
right.
Potentially. But I mean,
I have to turn to page 19 of the Globe and Mail.
Okay.
You've got a different piece of paper there with the actual report, I believe.
Right.
But it said here, it talked about even things like poverty, low education levels, chronic conditions such as diabetes, high blood pressure can predispose people to dementia. I'm thinking that, you know, during COVID and post-COVID and with rising food costs, people are maybe not eating well. They're not living well. They're it's much more complicated than just saying, well, it's age related.
Oh, I 100%. I think it is definitely more than just age related. You will see certainly advancing age is the strongest known risk factor for dementia. But it is not a normal part of aging,
no.
Right?
How about smoking? So, I don't remember if that's part of...
I'm not sure.
But a number of other things that we shouldn't be doing probably have impact. I want to turn to the point here. And, you know, I really need to identify what this program is. This is QOL, Quality of Life. And I'm your host, Hugh Cruzell. And this program is broadcast Thursdays at 6 o'clock, and also asynchronously. If you don't have time on Thursdays at 6, you can always listen to a podcast. And quite often these stories are also turned into print versions available through Post Media. I just want to mention that my guest, Shannon Ketchuba, is fresh to a role here.
Yes.
As executive director, but she's going to talk about this. Dementia is an umbrella term for more than 50 brain diseases and conditions, the most common of which is Alzheimer's. And your specialty is Alzheimer's, but you don't neglect the others, do you?
I wouldn't. For us, it's dementia.
Just
really, at the
broadly.
Same, you know, it's called the Alzheimer's Society,
I'm
but
glad
it's
we
definitely
clarified that.
It's definitely dementia.
Yes.
And yes, there are many different types of dementia. It is not specifically Alzheimer's disease.
I remember when we started talking about, you know, spectrum disorder for autism, and a lot of people were like, what? It's just autism. No, there's a... So are we saying, can we be more precise or better served by saying dementia spectrum? You know?
I'm not sure.
Maybe,
but
it's just not,
I know,
appropriate yet.
It, at this, when you speak, if you're dealing with someone, if it's autism, dementia, I've heard this quote for both. If you've met one person with dementia, you've met one person with dementia. And the same can be said for autism. So,
right.
Yes.
They're all individuals.
It's
and
very,
yes.
It's very individualized.
So that brings us to the people who are involved. We talk about individualized. This article in the Globe and Mail talks about the changing face of dementia. It talks about the broad category of what we call Asians.
Yes.
And that could include people with roots in China, Vietnam, Korea, India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, and other countries. Sudbury does have a diverse population.
Mm-hmm.
Are you already seeing in your service this might be, well, if it's not happening now, it's going to happen, right?
That's right.
Yes.
Because realistically, as the article did point out, in 2020, there was an estimated 46,800 people with Asian ancestry in Canada who have dementia.
Ooh, you got that somewhere.
Yeah. So
maybe that's
it's predicted to reach over 413,900 in 2050. So there will be a 507% increase.
They said one in four people with dementia will be Asian. Mm-hmm. In that broad category. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It is pretty amazing.
The Globe and Mail is just full of information. I circled all kinds of things. I underlined things. You know, one of the things I'd like to talk about at some point, maybe not immediately, but I hope we don't neglect this, are the tools that can help individuals perhaps stave off some of the memory loss. You know, in this article, they talk about iPads. Let's put that to the side for the moment.
Okay.
But let's talk about, you know, I guess information as well. Is there really Alzheimer's information in English and French here in Sudbury?
Yes.
Yes.
Most definitely. We're a bilingual organization. We are a designated French.
Are we putting it into First Nations languages? Are we? So this is what this article said. Javot Gill, a University of Waterloo researcher working towards a PhD in public health, saw firsthand how little culturally appropriate information was available for her family when her grandmother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease a few years ago. Are you starting? Maybe not yet, but it's good. Else, you're going to talk. Do you know already if there's an annual meeting scheduled where you and all the other EDs from various other Alzheimer's societies will gather together and go, we got to do something about this? Or is there... I don't even know. Is there a hierarchy? Is there a Canadian? Here you are in Sudbury. Mm-hmm. Is there a Canadian and then perhaps an international United Nations group that deals with?
So how it works here is you have your local chapters. Mm-hmm. And then there's Alzheimer's Society of Ontario.
Oh,
and then there's the Canada. Alzheimer's Society. Yeah, the Canadian.
No,
right?
That makes sense. Hierarchical.
So essentially you have... We do have meetings with the EDs twice a year.
Right.
There's one in the spring and one in the fall. And they would have been to Zoom by Zoom, I would think, in the last few years. I know in November it was in person for sure. And I don't know how long they've been doing them in person, but there is one again in April.
Mm-hmm.
There are two-day meetings held in Toronto where all of your chapters, your EDs come together and there are meetings.
Things
and
will be presented to
you. Reviewing.
And then you'll bring local perspectives.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And here, you are right. There is an Indigenous culture here, right? And when you look at those stats, you're looking at in 2020, there was an estimated 10,800 Indigenous people in Canada living with dementia. By 2050, it's expected to be 40,300. So you're looking at a 273% increase by 2050. That's
only phenomenal.
I mean, time flies so quickly, right?
Yes.
So it's not that far off where you're looking at that. And you have to think your Indigenous populations, many of them are, they're not right in necessarily Sudbury. A lot of them are
on the outskirts. Yes.
So it's a matter of being able to have those services and those resources, and we do every effort we can,
mm-hmm.
of course, to ensure those resources are available for those that require them, right?
How closely, and I don't know if you can answer this yet being fresh to the role, do you work with, say, Public Health Sudbury District? Is there a coordinated response to any of these things? Because I mean, it is kind of a crisis. I imagine there's probably some sort of council or things that get together every once in a while where you share ideas on a local basis.
It's hard to say. I'm too new, honestly, in the role to be able to say
things
that.
Are coming at you.
What I can say, obviously, is there's processes in place and there is referrals in place and there is, you know, you work with Ontario Health, of course, and I'm sure there is work with Public Health as well.
Yes.
But I mean, we have to go through their care coordination and all of that.
You know,
Ontario
what?
Health.
You've actually hit something right. So how does it work? Your mom or dad. Is there, things are a little different. Their
mm-hmm.
doctor says something to you, or there's a referral you mentioned. Is there, how does it work that they actually, you know, get to access the services? It's a process, isn't it?
It is a process, but I don't think it's that complicated, to be honest.
Okay.
I think that certainly we have behavioral supports. It's called BSO Ontario, so we have that as well, where people are they have relationships with clients. I mean, people will come in,
they don't show up at your door.
No, definitely not. They don't just show up and want to be in a day program No. Arrangements are made, meetings are done, referrals are put through, but it's not always necessarily coming from your doctor or anything like that.
Can you self-identify?
I would think there's self-referrals. Mm. I don't have the specific answers because I'm still reviewing so many of the processes that we have, of course.
It's a diverse set of answers, isn't it?
That's right. And
could be a neighbor.
It could be. It could be a neighbor. It could be...
Could be a hospital. Could be the hospital after a fall. You know, could be anything.
Yeah, it really could be. And like, it depends what programs as well, right? Because we have different programs.
Can you outline one or two of them?
Well, so we have our day programs, and in Sudbury and North Bay, they're both rented.
That's where people gather in a spot.
That's right. And for us in the Sudbury site, it is right at our offices. Mm-hmm. There is a day program.
I've been there for card making.
Yeah, they have
lunches.
We did
stamping of blueberries and leaves and
all kinds of different activities are done, and they're in a safe, secure setting. They have an outdoor courtyard for in the summer.
For a blueberry tea.
Many different activity rooms, you know, that they can be not necessarily all in one activity. They might be doing different ones in different areas of the center, right? So, and that's open Monday to Friday.
We have
a maximum of 25 people that are permitted to be in per day.
Right.
You know, and then you have, it becomes the ratios from staff to clients to ensure safety for all of the clients.
Right.
So, and then North Bay also has a program that runs 5 days a week.
That's part of your mandate as well?
Yes, that's right.
Is it Sudbury, Manitoulin, North Bay, and the rest of the world?
The rest of the Northeast, the majority,
but not
right?
Sault Ste. Marie.
No. There is an Alzheimer chapter there as well, and the same within Temiscaming, and that's all covered from the Cochrane area, right?
Now, what about there's a town we've missed out of all of us, Elliott Lake. Where do they fall in? Do they come here?
They fall into the Sault Ste. Marie one.
Yeah, that happens often for them.
So Espanola,
seems a little too far away, but you know.
Espanola, Manitoulin, all of the Espanola has a day program that runs once a week. Mm-hmm. And then there's one in Powassan, and I can't remember how many days a week. Don't quote me.
No, that's okay.
We just recently opened one in Albin. It was open before, and that
French
runs
River.
Once a week. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How far south do you reach then? To the French River, or is it?
Yeah, we're Nipissing West, and then Sturgeon Falls, there's one there as well.
So it makes sense. Francophone, probably.
Yeah. So we have day programs, which is a respite service for the care partner, but it's an engaging service. Depends.
Four.
Not all of them open. Whoa. No. The one in Sudbury and North Bay, I believe their hours are 8:30 to 3:30 or 9:30 to 3:30.
People stay as long as they
Some may be there only for a half day, and some may be there for a full day. It depends on what they're registered for and what they can manage, right? It's a respite service as well for the care partner. They're bringing them in to ensure that they get the few hours in that day that they need.
And transportation is done by the caregiver?
By the care partner, or sometimes it can be arranged through
GOVA or
Red Cross, right. You know, their transportation service. Mm. They might be registered to come through there.
Mm.
So, they get their transportation, and then they have that program, which is extremely beneficial. They have lunch. They have lunch. Actually, the lunch is from Meals on Wheels.
Yeah.
We cater in. So it's they have a great lunch.
And that's a social thing that you wouldn't get in your own home and eating with somebody.
Exactly.
Perhaps somebody different each time.
Some are there a few days a week, 5 days a week. Some are not. It just depends on people's schedules and what they're looking for.
So that's one program.
Yeah.
What's one of the others?
So we do have, there's the recreation therapy, which is the one where they actually go into the homes. And these people have, our staff have very big caseloads. But they're going into, say, a client's home for the day. They're spending time with them. They're doing activities with them. You know, they are there, and then they move on to the next client. And
so 2 or 3 or 4 a day.
Exactly. They're spending time with those clients to ensure that they're engaging and they're giving a bit of respite once again for a care partner, right?
Yes.
So
sometimes just taking a nap is respite.
Exactly. Because you know what? Sometimes our person's living with dementia. Sometimes they are up.
During the night,
you know,
frequently.
Little bit frequently. So that can be hard on the care partner, right? Mm-hmm. Then we also have a coffee group, which is basically where it's for the care partner and the person
nice.
Living with dementia.
That's nice.
So we have that. But then we also
it's
have
very
those
inclusive.
Groups. Yeah, we have those groups that are just for the care partners. They're kind of a support group.
To help them understand the phases perhaps.
Well, or just even just to
talk.
To sit and have somebody to share with, right?
Maybe even to say, my situation is not as bad as Sandra's situation. You know,
exactly.
Thank goodness I shouldn't complain.
I realize that. It's just their ability to just have a safe space to have those conversations about whatever might be happening, you know, just to maybe learn, maybe not, whatever, but just to have somewhere safe to talk.
Where did we ever learn about, I'm going to turn the clock back, which I frequently do on this program, where on earth did you and I learn about Alzheimer's and dementia? I think those words were fearful, if anything, and we didn't want to know what it would. I mean, I don't remember hearing the word Alzheimer's until about maybe 1983 or 84.
Okay.
Maybe a bit later, but I don't remember hearing it ever before.
And yeah, so I when I started working over 20 years ago now, so I'm still, but when I started working, I did start working in a day program in the Timmins area, actually. And the resources that are available now, the Alzheimer's Society was in play, but it wasn't the one that ran the day program.
No.
But there was resources available, but not to the degree in the, like they had the caregiver support groups. I remember those. And they were called caregiver support groups. Now we use the word care partner because it can be anybody, right? That's that care partner.
Mm. And it could be multiple people.
Exactly. Mm. So essentially, I've just seen so much grow with what kind of programming there is for that's associated with Alzheimer's societies and what they offer for...
Think back to 1983, we would have had brochures. Turn the clock forward to 2024. You have a website.
Yeah, we have a website. We have brochures still. We have a whole resource library. We have books. We have everything. But there is so much more. And we are so supported by Alzheimer's Society of Ontario. You know, that support is like any information. As you stated, I have a different article kind of than you do in some of those stats that you have.
Yes.
But this is the stuff that's coming from Alzheimer's Society Ontario to help us and assist in getting that word
and
out.
And do media calls as well.
Exactly. and what a more of an important time when January is Alzheimer's Awareness Month, right? So yes, we just had it proclaimed last Wednesday with the city of Greater Sudbury. And then many of the outlying areas, like the ones like Powassan and North Bay and all, they've all proclaimed it as well. Mm. So we've received their information in regards to that and the proclamation. So it's
Alzheimer's. January is Alzheimer's Prevention Month? No.
Awareness Month.
Because prevention is difficult. We don't know quite what the mechanisms are
to prevent. Exactly.
So I better use the right words.
It's awareness, yeah, for sure.
So I was talking about the website. If we go on the website, are all the brochure-like materials there? Are there buttons?
There's resources, right?
And you can just click and say, I'm a caregiver. Hit that button.
You can look at it from whatever perspective, but there is resources that are available. Some of those are provided, again, through ASO. I would say probably a lot of them are.
Because there'd be a Sudbury website,
right?
And there'd be an Ontario website.
That's right. But it's the consistency across all chapters to be able to be giving that same information out and have the same type of brochures. I mean, obviously your program specifics are different, but it's still the same general ideas that you're doing with programming for the societies.
So we didn't have iPads 1984.
No.
Articles here says I have to figure out how to deal with my things. My iPad is my second brain. Isn't that, you know, if you can organize your calendar, if you can stay on top of things, if you can stay in touch with people, mm-hmm. if you can recall somebody's name, mm-hmm. maybe because there's a picture of them on your iPad.
That's right.
Maybe even years ago, when I worked in special education, we had flashcards mm-hmm. and it could have the picture of the person or some kind of caricature of them. Today's, well, I'm hoping, is there on your site or the Ontario site a general set of questions that say, do you think you might have dementia? Here are some questions to ask, or, you know, I need to
There's
become more...
There's something to that effect. I'm going to be honest. I can't remember exactly how it's worded.
Complex.
But yeah, definitely there are, like, you know, you can use that as a resource to saying, mm-hmm. oh, maybe I should look into this. Mm. Or, you know, maybe something is happening with mom, or maybe something is happening with my spouse, and I need to look into this a little bit further. And then... Of course, there's that kind of information that you could get. And
if we're seeing these kind of numbers shift in Canada and shift in Sudbury, mm-hmm. you know, if we want to be more specific.
Right.
America's 10 times larger than that, us. What is going on in America? And it's beyond our discussion here, but, you know, out there in radio land, you might be going like, okay, so yeah, that's something to think about. America's, you know, 400 and something million people. And what about globally? I mean, is this a global thing? Is this a growing? What about, you know, you pick the country, maybe a country you've come from, Trinidad and Tobago, maybe you've come from Guyana. Is, as we have longer lives, and maybe are exposed to goodness knows what that might be precursors to Alzheimer's, you know, are we going to see just massive numbers across this planet that will change our thoughts about Alzheimer's and dementia?
I certainly would think so. I mean, I don't think we're a standalone nation in regards to this happening. No. I would think this is happening in every community, no matter what country you're associated with. The numbers are rising. We are seeing larger numbers.
Let's ask this question as we approach the final minutes. If somebody wants to volunteer or be involved in some way with programming, or perhaps even the person that they were caregiving to, their care circle,
right.
they now no longer have that person. Could they volunteer at the Alzheimer's Society?
Definitely. We have all kinds of wonderful volunteers, whether they're the volunteer drivers, whether they're the person coming in to assist in the day program. There is all kinds of volunteers that are and giving of their time. So yes, they can go to our website to look for more information, or they can certainly even call.
So what number would they call? If you're looking to volunteer with the Alzheimer's Society here in Sudbury, I guarantee if you just Google Alzheimer's in Sudbury, you'll come to a web page with telephone numbers that tell you, give you all kinds of suggestions. Let's see, Shannon's going to look it up.
Right. Our phone number is 705-524-2024. And of course, our website is www.alzheimersudbury.ca. 705-524-2024 is the telephone number.
It is. And I want to thank Shannon Ketchbach for being my guest here today to talk about the Alzheimer's Society here in Sudbury and dementia generally, and the growing numbers and perhaps the profile, the demographic profile changes that we will see here in Canada, in Ontario, and in Sudbury. You've tuned in to 96.7 on your FM dial. This has been Hugh Cruzell, and the program is QOL. Bye for now, folks.